Exodus 32, we're going to read verses 29 through 35 together. Exodus 32, verses 29 through 35. For Moses had said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day." And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "Ye have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and I have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore now go, lead the people unto the place of which I have spoken unto thee. Behold, mine angel shall go before thee. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit, I will visit their sin upon them." And let's finish on verse 35 together. Ready? "And the Lord plagued the people because they made the calf which Aaron made." And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for the Bible not being our words, but your words. Thank you that men did not write them, but that you wrote them. And now, Holy Spirit of God, would you teach us a truth tonight? Would you keep our hearts and our ears and our spirit open to thee so that we might get from you what you have for us tonight, please? In Jesus' name, amen. Exodus 32 is a very interesting passage to me. I love the life of Moses. I enjoy studying Moses' life. I enjoy reading Moses' life. There's a lot of ups and downs to it. This is a very familiar passage, but maybe not in a way that you would understand. Moses has spent 40 days on Mount Sinai. Now, we say he got the law. God took his own finger and in two tablets of stone gave us the law, but he also gave Moses the blueprints for the tabernacle. I can sit there and prove it to you. We could go to the book of Hebrews. We can go to other places. I'm not going to right now. That's not important. The important thing is he went 40 days and 40 nights with no food. He spent 40 days up there in the presence of God with no food. He comes down and his assistant pastor Joshua was partway up the mountain waiting on him. And as he came down, Joshua said, "Brother Moses, we got problems. It sounds like war down there." He said, "Well, let's go." As Moses is carrying down those tables of stone with Joshua, they get down and Joshua says, "You hear that? That sounds like war." And Moses says, "I don't think so." He said, "Sounds like some kind of wicked music to me." They get down a little farther and they see that the Jews, they're just several weeks out of the bondage of Egypt. They're just maybe a few months away from having left Egypt. They've now stripped down to almost naked, bouncing around to rock music, and have made a golden calf and are worshiping it as a god. You have to understand something. They had gone through the 10 plagues and watched God deliver them. They've gone through the opening of the Red Sea and crossed on dry ground with a heap of water over here and a heap of water over there. They watched God bring that water back over the Egyptian army and destroy them. And now they made an Egyptian god, a calf, and are worshiping it. Moses gets mad. He takes those two tables of stone and in anger throws them down on the ground. You have to understand something. Those weren't, by the way, Moses was not the lawgiver. God is. Moses was not the lawyer. God is the judge. God gave Moses those words. God, the Bible says, God took his finger and wrote in the tables of stone. Folks, they were so important that God wrote them himself with his very own finger. He wanted it exactly the right way. You say, why was he so mad? He was hungry. Imagine coming down after 40 days with no food and find everybody dancing around a golden calf worshiping a false god. I think I'd get mad too, amen? Moses realizes that God could destroy the Jews for this. God's last words to them before they left Egypt was, you follow me wholly and don't worship false gods. One of those things that God wrote on that tables of stone is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee graven images. Hello. God was pretty upset. Moses gets so mad that he takes that golden... Aaron's excuse was pretty stupid. Have you ever caught that? Well, the people wanted something and we threw all the gold into a pot and this is what popped out. Yeah, right. It doesn't work that way. Moses went to God and God says, grind the thing up, throw it over the water and make them drink the water. That's what he did. Then the people said, you think God's going to be mad at us? He said, I know he is. Y'all are going to get destroyed. Moses said, I'll tell you what, I'll go back up to the mountain and talk to God and see if I can spare your life. Moses leaves from being angry to go to the top of the mountain again. And he starts begging God and says, God, please, would you spare the Jews? He said, nope, I'm going to wipe them out. He said, tell you what, God, why don't you take my life for theirs? He said, Moses, you didn't sin. They did. He said, it's okay. I'd rather take their punishment and you be honest to the people of the world that those are your chosen people. Ooh, he got to meddling on that one, amen? God says, nope, I'm going to blot them out. God and Moses and God kind of disagree for a while. God answers by saying that he'll plague them but not destroy them. They came to an agreement. But there's something interesting about this story. Did you ever notice that Moses' opinion and God's opinion didn't match? Moses said, God, I don't want you to do this. And God said, but I want to do this. Now, just before then, Moses was thinking, God, kill them all. And you'll find out a little while later, if you read the next chapter or two, Moses goes back to God and says, God, wipe them out. God says, nope, can't do that. You asked me not to. Go ahead and do it now. They had a difference of opinion. Everyone has an opinion about everything. Am I right? I had to stop by the store tonight to pick up trash bags for the church. I got here early this morning and realized I had one trash bag left and we got a lot of trash on Sundays. I said, this is not a good thing. I was in there and I was looking for the size trash bags we need and a fellow walked by and said, now that's a pretty suit. I said, thank you. It's not the suit, it's the man. He said, no, it's the suit. We talked for just a moment. Shut up, it wasn't Brother Williamson either. It was just for a moment. He was expressing an opinion, and I appreciated that. There is nothing that happens that we don't form opinions about. You watch the news. Some of you believe it. Some of you don't believe it. Some of you believe part of it. Say, how much of the news do you believe? Not much. Can't even believe the weatherman anymore. Amen? That man gets paid to lie. I don't understand that. Yeah, he gets paid to be wrong more than the president. Amen? Well, maybe not. He's probably right more times than that. Our opinions are not always wrong. Here's the thing. But how and when we express them could be. found that a lot of problems are created amongst people when we express our opinions the wrong way or at the wrong time. You know, fellas, when she says, "How does this make me look?" don't express your opinion. Those of you that are young men, learn the answer. It's fine. Looks great. Yeah, buddy, you're learning, amen? Tomorrow we'll have been married 24 years. You say, "How does it look?" Incredible, amen? Say, "Why?" It doesn't matter. A man doesn't care. Now, she'll put on 5 outfits and not like any of the 5. You get mad because she gets tired of you wearing the same shirt with the same tie with the same suit every service, amen? You know, you need 2 suits, a black one and another black one, so that you can wear the other one when that one's getting cleaned, amen? That's all that matters. Now, wait a minute. We don't mean to be disruptive with our opinions, but sometimes we are. We don't mean to be hurtful with them, but sometimes we are. Tonight, I want to help you. I want to help your marriage. I want to help you with your children. I want to help you at your job. I want to help you with your friendships. I want to help our church. I must not be so selfish to think that my opinion is the only one that's right or successful. Let me say that again. I must not be so selfish to think that my opinion is the only one that's right or the only one that is successful. Now, there comes times when a leader has to say, "Okay, this is what we're going to do." But it's rare that a leader has to do that very often, just so you know. I'll be honest with you. I have to work at my opinions. Not in forming them, but in not giving them so often. I want my pride to be humbled enough so that God's opinion will overrule my opinion. You see, God's opinion's far more important than my opinion. And please don't take this the wrong way, but God's opinion's more important than your opinion. And when it comes to the things of the church, God's opinion's far more important than any of our opinions. We're going to do it His way. I don't care what the world says. Well, I know somebody with a bigger church. I know lots of people with a bigger church, but they're not doing it the right way. Numbers aren't everything. I want those that I love most to learn how to express their opinions to each other and to others, and it not cause as much conflict. I'm going to give you 3 statements, and we'll be done. I was listening to a sermon by Brother Roloff, a couple sermons by Brother Roloff this week, and I heard him make a statement. I haven't heard it in a long time. I'm going to give you this many points, and we're going to go to the house, amen? And I want to give you 3 statements tonight. Number one, learn to yield your opinion without conflict, fussing, or a bad attitude if your opinion is not used. Let me say that again. Learn to yield your opinion without conflict, fussing, or bad attitude if your opinion is not used. If you're at work and your boss says, "What do you think about?" and you tell him what you think about, or her, and they don't like your opinion and they don't use it, guess what? Smile and say, "Good, we'll do it your way." Some of you, if it's not your way, everybody knows about it. Learn to follow 100% behind the leader's opinion, even if it differs from yours. As long as it's not a right-wrong issue, if the leader makes a bad decision, guess what? It's his fault, not yours. Some of you are trying to say, "I know more than the leader, so I'm going to do it my way." It always amazes me how a guy that can push a button on a machine and produce one part his whole life knows more about how to run a company than the guy sitting in the CEO's chair. He hadn't done nothing but push a button, step on a pedal, pull a part out, pull the stock out, push the pedal back down, push the button again, and wait for the part to get done. But he knows more about that company than the boss does. It amazes me. He couldn't sell hot dogs at a baseball game, but he knows more how to run that company. You see, if there's not bad doctrine involved, if there's not right and wrong involved, if there's no wickedness involved, why don't you learn how to follow the opinion of the leader? I almost fear saying this, but I'm going to. One of the men that I worked for, that I love and I respect greatly, I was in a staff meeting one day. There was about a dozen of us in there. He said, "We're going to work on this." So we worked on that. He said, "I need somebody's opinion on this." I said, "I think it isn't going to work. I don't like it." Man, did the head snap in the room. One other person said, "I see what Brother Bush is saying. I got reservations about it." And the leader was leaning the other direction. 10 others went the other way. 2 of us stood by ourselves, amen? 10 were bad and 2 were good. No. I'm not upset, but I expressed my opinion. He wanted an opinion. I showed him why my opinion was what it was. Another person was leaning that direction for a little different reason, but still leaned that direction. I got outvoted 10-2. Guess what? He went with the 10. Guess what? I followed it 100%. To this day, you still wouldn't know what it was. I backed it 1,000%. And by the way, it worked out. I still believe the way I believed. I still wouldn't change my vote. You say, why? Because it wasn't a right-wrong issue. Who cares? I backed it 1,000%. There's not a person in this room that knows what that was, and you couldn't drag it out of me. Say, why? Because it doesn't matter. You know, I hate to tell you this, but boys and girls, teenagers, look at me. Moms and dads know more about running a home than you do. Boys and girls, moms and dads know more about life than you do. Why is it that you don't want to listen to them? Hey, teenagers, guess what? You don't know as much about life as you think you do. You think you got the world by the tail. You're making $8 an hour flipping burgers at, you know, Wendy's. Yeah, wait till you got to go pay your first month's mortgage. Then you got to put the deposit on the electric and the deposit on the water and the deposit on the gas. Then you got to pay for your own insurances. And you got to, all of a sudden, you don't make enough and there's more month than there is paycheck. And in the real world, you don't go, "Mommy and Daddy, I need help." See, what do? You go get another job and work for that much money and put that many more hours in to make up for what you don't have. Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? Sometimes your leader isn't going to agree with you because he's already made the mistake that you're about to make. Parents of teenagers, you know what I'm talking about. Did you ever let your kid make a decision? You're thinking, "That's stupid. I did that a long time ago." And you say, "Are you sure you really want to do that?" "Oh, yeah, yeah, this is the, I don't think it's, yeah, it's fine, Dad." Okay. Guess what? They come back and say, "I don't think I should have done that. I tried to tell you." "You did not." "Yes, I did. It was your decision, not mine. Stick with it, dude. It's all yours." Do you ever think that your boss may have already made the same mistake that you've made? Or has seen it hundreds of times? Do you ever notice that everybody wants to reinvent the wheel? You know, every generation's got to go back and do everything over. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Do you ever wonder why about every 20 years the style goes back to what it was 20 years ago? You know, fellas, don't throw the tie away. Just put it in the back of the closet. 10, 15 years, it's back in style. Everybody's got to reinvent it. Now, back in the 70s, when the ties were that wide, throw them away. Amen? Yeah. Folks, it does not change. Hollywood makes the same movies. They just put different actors, actresses, and modernize it. They can't even come up with anything new. The car makers, and I'm not against them, but guess what? They're going back to the 60s and remodeling the 60s and 70s cars today, and we think, boy, look at that. Is all they did is just redesigned it from the first cars that they made. It's really not that much different. Okay, I'm really getting in trouble here, but here we go. You know, every generation has to rediscover itself. You let that little boy, for the first time, he's got to do something. He's going to keep doing it the hard way till he decides maybe somebody knows more about it than I do. I used to teach my boys how to split wood, amen? And I've got, I won't tell you which one, doesn't matter. I've got one that does it different than I do. You know what? I don't complain. As long as job gets done and he doesn't hurt him or somebody else, I don't care. You say, but he does it different than you. So what? It works for him. Okay, it's not the way I do it. Do I have to force him that way? I tried for a while. I figured, I'm beating my head up against a stick. Who cares? Swing away. So you'll hit it five times to my one. Okay, you want to work five times harder? Go for it. Now, wait a minute. I don't care. Let's just get the work done, amen? It's not a right wrong issue. A leader is more apt to ask you your opinion if he knows you're going to follow if you don't agree. I've worked for a lot of strong leaders. And I mean strong leaders. You know what? They were the first ones to ask opinions. As long as they knew you were going to submit if he didn't like your opinion. I watched Brother Hiles. He'd ask for our advice over and over and over and over and over and over again, Brother Brinkerhoff. I mean constantly. But there were times where he'd say, fellas, so-and-so's not here tonight. Good. And you're thinking, why? He'd say, because I don't want to ask their opinion because I don't want to put up with the fallout if I don't take it. I'm thinking, ooh, that was a corrective statement. Glad that wasn't me. He wasn't gossiping. He was just ready to get down to business. And everybody knew what he was talking about. Now, listen to me very carefully. Here's the main part of this point I want you to get. The best way to express your opinion is to not force it on anyone. The best way to express your opinion is to not force it on anyone. Some of you are so strong with your opinions that nobody wants to be around you because we're all going to find out the way you want it, and it's got to be this way or that's it. Moving on, number two. Everybody doing all right? Okay, breathe. Here we go. Learn to only express your opinion if people or someone's reputation is about to be hurt. Do you know most of the time my opinion's just that? My opinion? I'm not going to talk to Brother Smith about how he's raising his girls unless I think he's about to hurt himself or hurt his family. Then I might say, Brother Smith, you open for a suggestion? Say, do you agree with Brother Smith on everything he does with his girls? I have no idea. I got my hands full with my two boys and my daughter. Number one, I'm too busy to worry about it. But if I saw something that I thought that he was going to hurt himself with, I might say, Brother Smith, you open for a suggestion? I'm not going to walk up and say, what in the world are you doing? You're stupid, man. That's the way some of you work. Say, well, okay, you've got two kids. I got three kids. Man, I've got more experience than you've got. You ought to listen to me, man. I've been down this road. You know what he's thinking? Get out of my face, dude. I don't care how many you had. You haven't had mine. And by the way, anybody that's got more than one child knows what I'm about to say. Ain't no two the same. It ceases to amaze me how that somebody that's got one or two or three or four or however many you have, and you know that every one of them puppies is different. How you know more about somebody else and their kids than they do about their own kids. It amazes me. Well, I've got one of every kind. No, you don't. Trust me, you don't. And boy, they hit junior high and everything you thought you knew about your kid, it's gone. Phew! Say, what happened? It rolled out their ear at bed one night. It's gone. You'll find it again in a few years, but it's gone. That kid that never got in trouble now doesn't go a day without getting in trouble. That kid that did no wrong does do no right now. And everything's all upside down. Folks, learn to express your opinion only when you think somebody's about to hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. If I saw Brother Smith and I thought that he was about to hurt himself or hurt his family or hurt one of you, I might say, hey, Doc, come here. Can we talk for a second? I think you're about to get yourself in a situation you don't want to get in. Would you let me help you for a second? Moses felt like God was going to get himself in trouble with the rest of the world. Moses felt like God's credibility with the lost world was at stake if God took his chosen people and wiped them off the face of the earth. He said, God, are you sure you want to do that? Do you know what everybody else is going to think about that? By the way, you go through the Bible, many times it says God repented of the evil that he thought to do to the children of Israel. That doesn't mean God confessed his sin and turned around and went a different direction. God didn't sin. God changed his mind about destroying them for the good of the people. Boy, that's a good sermon. My job is to protect people, not to hurt them. You know, sometimes my opinions are there to protect people, not to hurt them. Let me show you what I mean. Our deacons. We have four people that sign checks. Is that right? I have four people that sign checks. I can't sign a check. Say why? My signature's no good at the bank on the checks. Say why? That protects me. We've got a man who has a key. Each offering is put into a lock bag. And we have a man that has a key to those lock bags. But we also have people that take the money to the bank for us. And we have, for after hours and night deposits and things, you have to have a different key to open up the night depository. Do you know the person that has the key to the bag does not have the key to the night depository? And vice versa. Say, why? Don't you trust them? I want to protect them. I want to protect them. So that means if Donnie can take, and he can't, if Donnie could take the money to the bank and have the key to the bank, Brother York might have the key to the bag, which he doesn't, and he could open up the bag and close the bag for us, but he can't take it to the bank. You say, why? Because if he had both, and if something comes up missing in the deposit, guess who's going to swing? And I don't want him or him in that position. I don't want anybody to be able to point the finger at it. So we protect everybody. It's not a matter of I don't trust people. I'm trying to protect them. See, that just sounds like a lot of extra work. It's extra work, but it sure does keep everybody safe and happy. Boy, that's good stuff. There's times I have to let people do what they want because they didn't ask for my opinion. They just came and told me what they want to do. I have people that have made bad decisions in their life, Brother Williamson, because they came and told me what they were going to do and they never asked me my opinion. And I got to look at them and say, okay, if that's what you want, I'm always here for you. Something happens, you call me. They didn't give me an option. There's times I'll say, are you sure? They don't catch it. I got to hurry up. Number three, don't put your shoes on yet. Learn to ask if you can express your opinion before you express it. Boy, that's a good statement. Can I say that again? Learn to ask if you can express your opinion before you express it. And that doesn't mean, Brother Ray, can I express my opinion? Good, here we go. Some of you say, well, I told him I was going to express it. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. In my book, I made a statement many times in that book. I'm going to borrow that statement tonight. When you're at work, listen to this statement. Your leaders hired you to lead, but they didn't hire you to lead them. Did you catch that? Your leaders hired you to lead, but they didn't hire you to lead them. For you to disagree with your leader all the time and have conflict with your leader all the time, something's not wrong, and generally is not the leader. How many of you have run a multi-million dollar corporation? How many of you understand worldwide sales? How many of you understand the tax codes that go with it, and payroll taxing, and paying the employees, and all the different components that go with that, and answering to the government with all of the, and getting permission from our government to do worldwide sales? See, you can't sell something here and ship it to another country without permission from our government. And you don't even know what channel to follow to do that. And you want to say you know more about running General Motors than General Motors? You might know more about your little sphere of it than somebody else. But I have to tell you something. They've been a successful company a lot longer than you've been alive. Well, semi-successful. No, I'm teasing. Listen to me. You know, I found out a long time ago, if I need to feel the need, I've got to tell my opinion, I generally ask first. I've had people say, nope, I don't want it. I'll say, okay. Especially if it's a leader. I didn't just express my opinions to my leaders. Often I'd say, you open for an opinion? Open for a suggestion? Sometimes it was yes, sometimes it wasn't yes. You say, what about the times it wasn't yes? I didn't offer it. Give people the option to not want your opinion. Some of you word that in such a way where people have to take your opinion. You know, for instance, Brother Smith, yeah, you don't have to do what I say, but are you open for an opinion? And if he says no, guess what? I'm not going to give it to him. It's that simple. I'm really not. By the way, parents, be careful as your kids get older. Those of you that are rearing teenagers, listen to my voice. They have to learn to form their own opinions, and sometimes it's by mistakes. Controlled mistakes are not sinful. How they swing the splitting maul is not sinful if they swing it different than you do. Guess what? Let them have their own opinion. Say, but I know this will work. I know it's more productive. I know it's faster. Okay, they'll figure it out later. Don't worry about it. If they're not being sinful, who cares? If they're not beating each other up and swinging the maul over somebody's head, who cares? Boy, that's good. Some of you pressure people to give your opinion. This is the common statement. I just have to vent. Say, where do you vent, Brother Bush? Some of you think I go home and tell my wife all the things that you all tell me. my wife doesn't know any more about this church and probably less than what some of you think you know about this church. My wife is not my assistant pastor. Thank God. My wife is my wife. I don't go home and tell her about everything that goes on every day. She doesn't know about your sins unless you've told her. She doesn't know about our appointments. Now, I might say I had an appointment with so-and-so today that went well. If I have an appointment with a lady, often I'll tell my wife I had an appointment with so-and-so today. I don't even tell her what it's about. She doesn't care. Everybody doing all right? Say why? Because she's not my assistant pastor. She's my encourager. If I told her all the things you've told me, she's not there to encourage me. Amen? That's why I don't live with stress. Say, who do you tell? I tell God. Say, who do you vent to? God. I don't need to vent to anybody else. He's the only one that can fix it anyway. Boy, that's a good statement. Can I tell you something? If your boss takes your opinion and it works, don't take the credit for it. Give him the credit. See, but it was my idea. He was smart enough to hire you. You ought to give him the credit. I found out good leadership, they'll trickle down the benefits. They trickle down the praise. Don't worry about it. Some of you are so proud and arrogant, you got to have the credit for everything. Can I tell you what's fun? Not getting credit for something that did work. Learning to watch somebody else become successful because they listen to you and you know you influence and you help somebody become successful. Wow, what a wonderful thing in life. Some of you want the credit for so much. You're proud, you're arrogant, and you need to work on that. My secretary and the two college young people that are working with me this summer, I'm often asking their opinions on things. There was a couple of us working on the ladies' meeting the other day. There was about three or four of us working on it the other day. And I said, ladies, I got some ideas, but I'm open to yours. And I'll get outvoted. That's fine. Now, this we're not, and this we're not, and this we're not, because it's already set. But past that, I'm open. I already knew who the speaker was, asked for the speaker, and got it cleared. We weren't changing who the speaker was. Amen? I already cleared the date on the calendar. That wasn't changing. And I had already picked the theme myself, and that wasn't going to change. Past that, everything else was fair game. Say, well, you are just being selfish with it. There was a reason I wanted that for that time, at that time, in that place, with that person. Okay. That was my prerogative. What they eat, I don't care. I'm a man. Doesn't matter what it is. As long as it doesn't choke going down, who cares? As long as it's dead and it's been cooked a little bit, that's all that matters. You say, well, what about, don't worry about it. The ladies will tell you, I had some ideas. I had a whole list of ideas. And they came up with better ones than I had. I was for it. I'm not a lady. I don't think like a woman. Amen? Thank God, men. Whew. Now, I've been to enough ladies' meetings. I know a little bit about how they think, but I'm not even sure they know how they think sometimes. You just hang on, fellas. It ain't no better going the other direction either. We put on a good show, but it's no different either. Now, wait a minute. We came up with some good ideas. I'm excited about it. We came up with some ideas for meetings down the road even. I'm good with that. Say, did you have to have your way? Only in a couple little things that I had already promoted. That's all it was. Can I tell you something? Good leaders need people's opinions. A good leader becomes a good leader because he listens to the followers to know what they need. So if you'll learn to express your opinions to the leader the right way, guess what? It works out. Here's where you get in trouble. Ladies, men, we express our opinion the wrong way, the wrong time, and now you're fussing over your finances. Well, I don't think you should have spent that much money on that. Okay. Did he ask for your opinion? When he doesn't have the money to pay for it later, he'll figure it out. Say, but we could have, I know what you could have done. Hold on to it. The fact that you didn't say it this time, he'll ask the next time. Trust me. You throw a big fit about it this time, he's going to go out and spend more money he doesn't have. Just to spite you. Say, why? Because that's how a man's built. That's why on my Garmin I changed it. It's not a woman's voice. It's a man's voice. Because she ain't going to tell me what to do. Amen? I don't care if it's in Spanish, French, or Portuguese. I'm not listening to some woman tell me which way to turn in my car. Say, you're a male chauvinist pig. No, I'm a hog, not a pig. Now, wait a minute. We joke about that. I don't even know what voice is on my Garmin. I don't listen to the thing. I still believe in maps. Amen? Yeah, real old school. Why do we allow our pride to inflame to where it has to be our way? Listen to this statement. Do you know, it doesn't make sense to me about soul winning. Brother Brinkerhoff, it doesn't make sense to me why God wants me to go out, knock on a stranger's door, person I never met, tell them about a heaven I've never been to, about a God I have never seen, about a spirit that nobody can see, or nobody can see, and trust a Bible that we believe by faith that God gave us about a Jesus who was born of a virgin, right, was crucified, buried, got up out of the grave on his own power, sure. And we have to trust that to take us to heaven and not what we do. Now, that doesn't make sense to me. But I know this, by the thousands they've been saved doing that. It never ceases to amaze me when somebody looks at, we were talking at soul winning the other day, and somebody said, you know, I was almost shocked. You know, I went through it and the person said, yes, I want to get saved. It's like, you do? You know, it never ceases to amaze me that people will do that. You say, why? Because that's God, not man. It doesn't make sense why God wants us to get, after we get saved, come to church, go over here in one of our Brother Hawkins' telephone booths, amen, put on a blue Smurf suit, get in the tank, let me dunk him in water, and say, okay, you've been baptized. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but it's what God said, and that's what we're doing. It's been God's way all along. There's some things that God's, you say, well, I just don't agree with God on that. Well, he's not changing his opinion, and sweetheart, he doesn't care what yours is. Fellas, you don't know more about it than God. Quit trying to figure him out. Some of you are so proud and arrogant, if you can't figure God out. Hello. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. You don't have the mental capacity of an ant compared to God. Matter of fact, God put more sense in the animals than he did man. They have to obey him. He gave you the freedom to choose. Look how screwed up you are. You want to fight him and fight him and fight him and fight him and fight him? You got to figure it out, figure it out, figure it out, figure it out. Guess what? Why don't you just trust it? Say, well, how do I get God's opinion? There it is. Just read it. Some of you want your opinion over that book. Some of you won't come see me for counsel because we're going to do what that says, not what you want to do. I'd rather have God's opinion than yours. By the way, it's always worked out when I choose his, just so you know. Every time. Folks, You get along better at work if you learn how to express your opinions. You get along with each other. You get along better at home, amen? Ladies, when he says he doesn't care what he eats, he really doesn't care. He could eat the same bologna and cheese sandwich every day and be happy. He, not the same one, but he could eat a bologna. Whew. I heard that one coming from behind me, and I'm getting out of the way. If he's got to eat the same one every day, it's bad. Suck it down with the straw after the second time, amen? Whew. Now, folks, men really don't need variety of food. They could eat the same thing at every meal, every day, and be happy. You ladies are thinking, so boring, so gross. You know what? We don't care. It's food. It's sustenance. That's why God said arise, kill and eat, not arise, pick and eat. You know, it's got to be meat, amen? Now, wait a minute. Just like he doesn't care what he wears half the time. If it's semi-clean, it looks like it's clean, it's going on. Now, I'm not going any farther with that because there's so many directions. He doesn't care what color it is. You noticed, haven't you? He doesn't care if it matches. Just throw the stupid thing on. It's clean. Gonna get dirty working anyway. Folks, we're so different with our opinions. Let's learn when and when not to express them. Let's not hurt each other with our opinions. Can I tell you something? Everybody look at me and I'm done. Let's not be so forceful with our opinions, where it has to be our way all the time. There's times I'm going to let you make mistakes because I have to, not because I want to. Say why? Because you didn't ask. And I'm not going to force it. By the way, God didn't force his way on you. God didn't hold a gun to your head and make you do anything. Maybe we ought to take a lesson from the greatest leader in the universe, God, about our opinions. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Not a complicated truth, but a very important one. Not a truth that may seem to be on the surface that important, but boy, it sure could save an awful lot of conflict. Might be the difference between you and a job promotion. Might be the difference between a happy and an unhappy marriage. Might be the difference between you and happy kids. Or kids, you and happy parents. Maybe we just need to give our pride a rest and let our opinions be expressed appropriately.